And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power. I'm your host, Zachary. This is my co-host, Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Doing just fine.
Feeling good? Post-July 4th.
I'm loving life.
Post-July 4th.
It's been a great week. Yeah. It's been a great... I've had the whole week off for 4th of July this week. And I'm living life and loving things and listening to Jimmy Buffett every day.
Me too. I've just
boat drinks, yeah, man.
I've actually been off this whole week, too. So we're both lazy bums this week. It's been great. I'm actually wearing shorts right now that are tattered. Feels great.
Well, I think the big strip you've got is wearing pants and towels.
Yeah. get this show. I'm going to surprise you with a little topic here, Dan. What's your favorite patriotic memory of sports?
Oh. I think I always kind of, and this happened before I was alive, but I think it would be Richard Petty winning his 200th race at the Firecracker 400 on, you know, July 4th weekend, as Ronald Reagan flew his plane, Air Force One flew into Daytona. I think that's always my go-to July 4th memory, as far as sports goes.
My fourth memory is more patriotic. My favorite's when Vince Carter jumped over that guy in the Olympics and dunked over him. There's nothing more American than teabagging somebody as you dunk on them.
Sure.
I think that,
sure.
It's a good of, like, and that, how I feel about America. It's just a big black guy kicking some European guy's ass. That's America to me.
I mean, that's basically World War II, right?
Pretty much. Well, actually, that's more like a Soviet guy kicking a German guy's ass. But we'll get into that later on our World War II podcast. We're planning.
Yeah, that we will definitely do.
Well, let's jump in now. I want to jump into some NBA action, Dan. Kind of another crazy week in the NBA offseason. I don't know if we talked. I don't think it happened after the show. Paul George to the Thunder. Was that after?
That surprised me. Not that – I mean, obviously, Oklahoma City, they desperately needed to try to replace some of Durant's
That's
production.
That's a hell of a replacement.
And I kind of think Paul George is going to fit better with Russell Westbrook than Durant ever did. Because George is a guy who doesn't need the ball all the time. Like, George is happy to be offensively sort of a second banana. Yeah.
And then, you know, the Thunder also, I think they added Patrick Peterson this week. A really good offseason for the Thunder. I think a team a lot of people kind of, I mean, we knew they were going to be good next year, but we kind of left them for dead. I think that's fair to say, you know. And this is the team revitalized now. You know, Westbrook's got the new girlfriend in Paul George, and I'm pretty excited to watch Thunder Warriors all next season.
I am too. I'm very excited to see that. But what did bum me out is that, you know, other than Gordon Hayward, the East, the little paltry amounts of assets the East has were taken by the West, which is like, you know, a robber baron, you know, walking up to some guy who lives in a shack and stealing his wheelbarrow.
We saw another all-star leaving, Paul Millsap, who signs with Denver, and I kind of like what the Hawks did with this, though, because it would have been kind of dumb to re-sign Paul Millsap after the Hawks. At this point, you're clearly looking at rebuilding, and they got, a first-round pick, and, you know, probably maybe get some for Jamal Crawford and get a little prospect in Diamond Stone. I like what the Hawks did there, you know, got something better than what happened.
The only thing that kind of weirds me out about what the Hawks are doing rebuilding right now is that somebody's got to make the playoffs. Like, you might try to rebuild and still end up, you know, making the playoffs in the East. Like,
I think,
like, Philadelphia is making the playoffs this year.
Well, it's going to be a weird thing in the East, but I think you have a team like the Bucks who are still, like, I think we're going to see the Bucks kind of, we're going to see if the Greek Freak is the man or not. We're going to see that this year. I mean, I think the Bucks, I look at that team, I think that's a 3 seed right now. In Milwaukee?
I mean, yeah, it looks like Boston penciled them in as the 1 seed. Cleveland is the 2 seed.
Well, Cleveland really the 1 seed.
He probably is.
Wink, you know.
Well, I mean, Cleveland's going to be the team that we all know is going to win, but they're not going to bust their ass in the regular season. We know Boston will. Like, we know Boston is going to end up with that 1 seed. We know Cleveland's probably going to end up with the 2 seed. Toronto, I mean, I could see Toronto. I mean, Toronto might still get the 3 seed because they didn't really lose anything. They basically just brought back the same team that we know is not good enough to win.
I think we'll see the Hornets actually have a pretty good year.
The Hornets have to make the playoffs this year. Because if they don't, because they're trying to be better. And so much of the East is trying to be shitty. If the Hornets can't make the playoffs in this East, in this environment, where so many Eastern Conference teams just don't even care, I don't know, man.
We forget to talk about the Wizards. The Wizards are a team that could be a 3 seed pretty easy, I think. The Heat, I mean, I think the Southeast, you'll probably see every team but maybe Atlanta make the playoffs. And the Magic.
Atlanta's still going to make the playoffs, bro.
We'll see. I'm hoping not, because as an Atlanta fan, I really want them to suck for one reason. Those tickets are going to be really cheap. And there's nothing better, Dan, than when your NBA team sucks and you can pay maybe like $5 to go watch superstars beat your team. That's the NBA to me. That's the one I grew up with as a Hawks fan.
That's,
what
that's the team that you have such
fun. Well, I've had more fun, Dan, probably when the Hawks sucked than when they were good. Because when you're good, there's a lot more pressure. When you suck, sports is a little more fun sometimes. So, yeah, we look at the East. We mentioned Boston. This is the nightmare scenario for Boston, though, correct? Like, yeah, they got their guy Hayward. That wasn't the guy everyone, I think, thought they really needed to go over the top, right?
No, I don't think – no, I think they avoided the nightmare. The nightmare would have been they didn't get
it. That would have been worse.
That would have –
But
that
this is a pretty
nightmare.
Bad – this is like a like, bad you, dream. Is that fair to say?
I wouldn't say so. I think they dodged the bad dream. The issue is going to be you're still not good enough to beat the Cavs. But they did get better. And Hayward is a good fit. You know, Hayward fits well.
How much are we going to end up hating Gordon Hayward because of the Boston fan base? Because now Gordon Hayward becomes a symbol of, like, white nationalism in the NBA, right? That's what I feel. Like, yeah, he was in Utah, but no one really cares about him. They're just over there, you know, doing their thing. Way more amplified in Boston. Boston doesn't have the best reputation in terms of race.
What are you saying here?
Hayward's going to make things better, and I think the Boston fans are really going to hate it when they can't call him the N-word when he sucks.
No, Hayward is going to be everybody's favorite. He's going to be the new Danny Wood. I mean, he's not going to suck.
He's going to have nights where he sucks. Every player has a night where he doesn't have a good. That's what I mean. Like, they can't be like that lazy.
Yeah, but he's going to be. But when he's going to be the guy who, even when he sucks, it's going to be Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, that's
ball.
True.
Isaiah Thomas didn't pass.
But
the
will
ball,
Hayward
right?
become one of the more hated players in the league now?
I
think so. Maybe based solely on what team he's on, but I think that has a lot to do with it. I think a lot of people will hate Gordon Hayward by the end of next season.
Do generic NBA fans really hate the Celtics in 2017? Like it's
no,
not the eight.
The black ones do. From what I can see on social
fair
media
enough.
And stuff,
that's fair enough.
The Celtics do have that reputation. Like even when. The Hayward news was breaking. I saw a lot of retweets of GIFs of, like, the Klan marching, and they're like, here come the Boston Celtics, you know. So I think they do have that reputation, especially among, like, probably younger black NBA fans. I'd say that as a white guy, but it's just something
That's
I've
funny.
Observed. So I'm interested in that. I do think people end up hating Gordon. I'd already hate Gordon Hayward now.
Well, I kind of think he fucked Utah over in kind of a fucked up way. Because, I mean, he did tell them they needed to go get Ricky Rubio and then didn't resign. So, like, okay, you just – they got a player to satisfy you and then you didn't sign. That's interesting. Maybe if you weren't interested in signing, you shouldn't have been telling them what player you
get,
huh?
But I get Hayward would jump to Boston because you're clearly going to be the – you know, you go from a guy who's in a very crowded conference to a guy who's going to be top five in the East in terms of players. Maybe he's top 10 in the West, you know? So,
and he's playing for a coach he trusts and buys in with.
But,
like, I don't think Boston gets him without Brad Stevens. Like, I think Brad Stevens was a very important part of getting him.
Not the best case for Danny Ainge, because you do strike out. You strike out on Paul George.
It's not the best case, but
you
it's
strike
not
out
on
Jimmy
bad.
Butler.
Like he avoided doing
They're not getting their super. They kind of struck out on Kevin Durant. I don't know if people talk about that. Durant definitely didn't even give him a look when they thought he would have last season. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm a Boston fan, I'm kind of disappointed how Danny Ainge handled everything, to be honest.
I mean, it just all comes back to Danny Ainge has to win every trade he does. Like, he's not capable of just going... All right, like, I had to give something up to get something. That is what it is. Like, when Cleveland got Kevin Love and they gave up Andrew Wiggins, and people were like, how could you give up Andrew Wiggins? How could you give up this wonderful rookie player? Who, by the way, I would like to point something out to you. Andrew Wiggins was the worst defensive player in the NBA last year.
I'm not.
You know that? Of any guy who got starters minutes, he was the lowest rated defender in the NBA last year. The guy that everybody said you had to keep, you can't trade him for Kevin Love. Kevin Love's a bad defender. Kevin Love was significantly better defending than Andrew Wiggins.
I disagree with that point, but I think now maybe you wish you kept Wiggins now that they kind of want to move LeBron more to the post.
Well, they don't want to.
LeBron's leaving. He has to kind of play more than four. I know we're in a positionless thing, but he needs to play more like a four, I think, going forward.
Well, I think that I don't think they regret getting rid of Wiggins because A, they want a title, and B, Wiggins isn't very good. So
he's also you're also a lot better if you play with LeBron. I think he'd probably be a little bit different if he's playing with the best player of his generation. Attempts to,
maybe
LeBron attempts to make people
maybe or maybe. Or you find out quickly that a guy can't play.
I mean, we'll see. I think we'll see more of Wiggins this year on Minnesota when he has tons of people around him. I think we'll learn more.
When you are a guy who everyone expected to be a good defender, and you get to play for Thibodeau, and you are the worst defender in the NBA, you don't got it.
Well, we don't know that, though.
It's
too early. It's too early to make a decision on Wiggins.
I don't think it's too early.
He just bounced back all the time.
I think he's shit. I think that whole draft was shit. I think everybody overblew. Oh, my God, he was able to shut down Okafor in summer ball. Yeah, Okafor's trash. Or not Okafor. Jabril. What's his name? No. The forward from Duke that year. God. I think he ended up with Minnesota.
No,
he ended up with Milwaukee because Wiggins ended up with Minnesota.
Jabari Parker.
Yeah, Parker. Yeah, Parker.
It's also been hurt by ACL.
He's trash.
He's towards it.
And he's,
well, then
he's never
tear your. He's playing pretty damn good before he tore his ACL. So.
Nah, he's trash. Every year we overrate the shit out of rookies and end up, and talk like they're all the next Michael Jordan, and we overvalue them and we act like, oh, look at this guy. You can't trade him. Look at how much value he might have. Yeah, and he might also be absolutely worthless. And Danny Ainge will hold on to these quote-unquote assets that you'll never win anything with any of them. You're never going to win a thing with them, but he's like, I have my precious assets. Look at how I sit on my throne of assets.
Yeah, well, I think we learned, too, is assets didn't mean shit because we saw what Paul George was traded for, So in the end, you didn't even really need all of those assets to get Paul George, it looks like. You just needed, two guys who can play.
There was the rumor that Indiana was not going to trade him into the East.
I don't think it was more the East. I think Danny Ainge rubbed him the wrong way with, y'all just wait for us to get Hayward, and then we'll do the trade. And Indiana's like, fuck you, we're going
to
do the deal.
Yes, that was definitely an issue.
I think that's part of it.
Trying to dictate to, they're the ones with the key, with the great player, and then we're going to tell you what
to do. Yeah, they're like, fuck off, we're going to do this, And we're going
to...
Yeah.
Especially when we're talking about Paul George, hey, wait for us to get Gordon Hayward first before we can get Paul George.
Which I do like when other GMs tell Danny Ainge to fuck off. Because I think a lot of GMs do know that he's severely overrated and, only got the big three together in, 2007 because Kevin McHale was his buddy. He just kind of gifted him Kevin Garnett.
Well, and Kevin McHale was very stupid. I think people make that too conspiratorial. It's like Kevin McHale was a moron. He was a really, really stupid guy.
Well, exactly.
He's a terrible
but
general
he also
manager.
Was a stupid guy who trusted a guy he knew.
I think it was I think sometimes people make that nefarious, where it's like, oh, he traded this great player away for peanuts to Danny Ainge just to help his buddy out. And I think it was just more of his buddy talked him into something and he was too stupid to realize.
Yeah,
he didn't
I think
play.
It's a lot of when people have conspiracies about politicians and businessmen, it's like, well, they were in the same fraternity together. And it's like, well, they were just in the same club, but he's way smarter than, say, George Bush was. That's why he agreed to this deal, if you will. Well, let's jump on. There's another signing slash is part of the Millsap signing trade, and that's Gallinari going to the Clippers. I don't think the Clippers are going to win anything, mind you, but I really am interested to watch this team play. Because you've got Gallinari at the three, you're going to play Griffin at the four, and DeAndre Jordan at the five. Them three tall boys. That's going to be fun to watch.
I don't know what the fuck the point of DeAndre Jordan is. I thought it was crazy when they gave him that max deal all those years ago. I think it was insane when they tried to pretend like they had a big three because they had DeAndre Jordan. I always thought there has been this consistent and frankly ridiculous overrating of DeAndre Jordan for years by the Clippers organization. And I'm shocked they haven't
traded. Well, if I can jump in there.
I don't know what his point is.
Two ways I like to refute what you're saying. I think DeAndre Jordan's overvalued by the Clippers because they didn't have a decent big man at all forever.
You don't need a big man. man. Yeah. Fuck big man.
You need a decent big man every game.
You don't. You absolutely don't. It's the most worthless position in basketball.
You need a good defender in the post.
Yeah, well, he's not. He's never been a good defender. He's a track defender.
Like, no team has won a championship.
You don't. You don't need one. You absolutely don't.
Because the Warriors don't win a championship without Draymond Green. Second.
Well, no, Draymond Green is not a big man.
He's 6'8".
He's not. No, no, he's not. No, that's not.
Was Charles Barkley a big man?
Draymond Green. Okay, Draymond Green. No, he was 6'6". He was a Charles Barkley would be way better now, which is funny because he hates basketball now. But
oh, you know what?
Charles
count,
Barkley would
you know
fit
what?
In so much better today.
I count him as a big man because he's got the attitude.
He's not. When I say big man, I mean a center who cannot dribble, who cannot pass, who cannot shoot, who's just supposed to clog
a lane.
That's your definition of big man.
I believe big man's about what's in the heart. Big man, yeah.
It's about the lessons we learned along the way.
But my second big point there was the Clippers also probably really wanted to fuck over Mark Cuban, and I think that's why that signing kind of happened the way it did.
Well, good. You fucked over Mark Cuban by keeping a trash-ass player who's not any good.
People talk about the psychological games that maybe Cuban plays by making himself, you know, a big thing in the media. It sometimes works to your benefit because people shoot themselves in the foot just to piss you off. And that's kind of great, too, if you're Cuban, you know?
I mean, DeAndre Jordan maybe does have a little bit more value to Dallas because Dallas, like as long as they've got Dirk, they're never going to be an up-tempo team because Dirk's not going to run up and down the court. So they kind of have to be a big man team, and Dirk's certainly not going to play center for anything more than a couple of minutes a game. So if any team is going to go big boy, it's probably them. And there's some logic to that, but still not with DeAndre Jordan. If you're a big guy, like, when I say a big man, I'm talking like a 7-footer near 7-footer.
A Vince McMahon big man. Not your common.
Like, Mark Gasol, he can play because he can shoot, he can pass, he can distribute. He's like an extra distributor.
And
out
he's
there
a smart
in the
player.
Court sets. He
he's
can
a
play.
Cerebral kind of guy.
Smart player. He can pass and he can shoot. He has value. The big racist guy from Australia, Bogut. Bogut has value because he's an excellent interior defender. Like, you have to be, if you're going to be a big, tall, traditional center, the only way you have value is if you're an awesome defender. If you're not, if you're DeAndre Jordan and everybody toasts you in the pick and roll every single time and you can't defend anything, but he can rebound, great. Teams in the NBA don't even try to get offensive rebounds anymore. You can get defensive rebounds Steph Curry.
It's why Dwight Howard's useless now to most teams. Like, yeah, he gets 10, 18 rebounds a game. Who gives a shit? When you can't defend a pick and roll.
Like,
when you, you know?
Yeah. And that's why Draymond Green is so valuable, is that he's not a big man, but he can defend. He can defend interior players. So if you do have a big man, he can defend that guy. But he can also defend two guards, and I mean, he can defend basically four positions
on
the
court.
Well,
he can defend two,
and you cannot run pick and rolls on him because he can defend both guys. That's what you want. That's what everybody wants. They're all looking for those guys who have like a traditional forward body, but who are athletic enough to defend basically everyone.
Let's jump back though to what the Clippers are doing, because like clearly you want to compete. You're building a new arena. There's dumb logic of teams where it's like, well, we have to put a competitive team that won't win anything if we're building an arena. It doesn't mean shit. People will come when you win championships, regardless. But I am super interested in watching this team. I mean,
there's the other thing about the Clippers is there's a desperation because the Lakers look like they're getting their shit together. And the Clippers are like, I heard Bill Simmons talking about this like a week or so ago, 2 weeks. The Clippers kind of blew their moment to try to take over the city.
Yeah.
Like, they had a chance.
Well, no.
The Lakers, who've always owned that city, basically became the most incompetent franchise in the NBA.
Well, Dan, they'll
that
never
gave them a shot.
Well, Dan, they'll never own the city.
They could have.
Because look at New York. Look at New
they
could have.
If the Clippers had won a championship or two,
no,
they
could
have.
Look at New York baseball.
They could have.
In the 80s, the Mets were a much superior franchise, correct?
But the Mets have carved out a very significant
market
share.
Okay, I don't disagree with that, but the Yankees are still the toast of the town. They'll always be the It's the same thing with the Knicks and the Nets in New York now. The Nets can win a championship next. They won't, but they could next year. The minute the Knicks...
No, I think the... I don't think that. I don't think that's true. I think the problem with the Nets is they have... Like, they showed up in New York and immediately became this, like, terrible team. But if they had showed up and been well-run and...
Well, they tried to be easily taken. They tried to be a good team.
Everybody in New York hates the Knicks. Like, everybody is sick to death of Mark Dolan. Like, he has... Basically spent 20 years taking all joy out of New York fans.
George Steinbrenner, but you love them when they start winning championships. Weird how that.
Yeah, but Dolan's never going to win anything.
You never know. No one thought Steinbrenner would either. You just never. All it takes is a couple of lucky hits.
But Steinbrenner won though. Like Steinbrenner won though. Like even in his early days, like you'll never be able to take the Reggie Jackson era away. Like yeah, as bad as shit got for the Yankees in the '80s, all those Yankee fans still remembered Reggie Jackson. Whereas, like, everything James Dolan has touched has been a tragic, hilarious fail.
But it'd be fair to say Melo is the Reggie Jackson of the, like, big free agent who comes in but doesn't ever really do shit when you think about it.
Let me think. Because
the Yankees didn't win a championship with Reggie Jackson. It's like, that's the goal. If you're the Yankees, you don't really care about making the playoffs. You gotta win champion, huh?
I would say Carmelo would be the, The Dave Winfield of the Knicks. Big, flashy free agent signing. Take a guy away. Won a World Series with the Padres. You bring him in. He plays pretty well, but your team continues to be shitty.
Wait, when did the Padres win a World Series? What was this?
Like, 81?
Nothing before
82?
I was born counts in baseball.
It was like 80, 81. They had Dave Winfield. They had Tony Gwynn, I think, was a young guy on that team. Might have been pre-Tony Gwynn.
How long is Tony Gwynn around?
Tony Gwynn retired in like
2000. He's dead now, so I guess.
Yeah, he died of mouth cancer. Don't chew tobacco.
Smoke.
Kid.
Like Hank Aaron smoked in the dugout. Still alive. What's that tell you?
But that Padres team had Raleigh Fingers as a relief pitcher, and he won the MVP I think that year.
But anyway. But the Clippers look like they have missed their moment. I think Simmons even was like, they should move to Seattle. That's fucking stupid. Never move. If you have a team in L.A., don't move to fucking Seattle. That's dumb.
Well,
where would you rather live, Dan?
Like, if you're an afterthought in L.A. versus being the
I'd
thing
much
in Seattle,
rather,
that's not
if
so
I
stupid.
Own the Clippers, I have to live where the Clippers are, I'd much rather be an afterthought in L.A. than the forefront in Seattle. Give me that beach, baby.
But, I mean, we're not... You don't make money off of being... You don't make money off of being...
They don't make
a nice
money anyway. The sports teams are not about making money. They're about
tour. Oh, they absolutely are, brother. Why do you think they buy them? But he's going to get an arena deal in Orange County.
He's
going to
get something nice. So, is there any other...
They may end up becoming the Anaheim Clippers.
Any other free agents news or anything that kind of jumped out at you, Dan? Or
I don't understand why all these free agents want to go play in the West. Like I would be like if I was going to take less money, I would be heading.
Well, here's
young
I can tell you why, Dan. I'll tell you right now.
Because
they're
none
more scared of LeBron than they are of the Warriors for whatever reason. I don't know if it's right or not, but they're more scared of playing LeBron.
That makes sense, though, because LeBron, like, there was a thing when LeBron was easily the best player in the NBA, the players still all thought Kobe was the best.
Yeah.
Because he was of that generation before.
Well, and LeBron,
like, when you talk about the league average player, the league average player is like 26, 27. And all of them was like, well, LeBron's the dude. So even though the Warriors are a better team, LeBron's the guy who they came into the league going, well, that's the badass cock of the walk.
Well, I think, too, the Warriors, like, and don't get me wrong, I don't agree with this, but I think there's probably still that perception of, well, the Warriors are kind of like a flash, you know, a really good flash, but maybe just a flash in the pan. Because we are Curry turned ankle away from that team, like, not being, you know, that amazing. I think people forget that.
I mean, they won the most games in NBA history and then turned around and won a world championship losing one playoff game.
Listen, I'm not saying that they're not, but I'm just saying you're still a Curry-turned ankle from them being very beatable. And once you have bad ankles, I think any athlete knows this, they're always going to be bad. That's the thing with ankles. Like, if your ankle, you know, if you fuck up your ankle once, you're going to fuck it up the rest of your life.
It's been pretty fine.
We're still one. I think every athlete knows in the back of his head. Just one turned one away. Curry being
I want to issue an apology. They did not win the World Series. They made the World Series in 1984.
Didn't they also make the World Series like 96?
Yes, they made the World Series in 98.
Right. One of the years I think the Braves get screwed over.
Yes, 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 yes. They lost to the Yankees.
We mentioned baseball, man, and we mentioned basketball. Let's jump over to the bullpen, a new segment we're doing with our boy Seth Simmons, a real professional athlete. He's going to give us his take on, I believe, the NBA this week, or we got lots of topics.
I mean, yes. He's got Seth's going to come in. He's going to throw that wild shit. He's going to throw high and tight. He might hit us up in the head, but I think he's going to be primarily talking about the NBA this week, but you can't control him.
Let him
he's
go
wild.
He's like wild. He's our wild thing. You know, we're going to bring him in, or Rick Vaughn. So let's jump in. Let's jump into the bullpen.
I heard everybody. We're good.
All right.
Ready?
Ready.
And welcome to the bullpen. Here we are, Dan. We are here in the bullpen with Mr. Seth Simmons. How you doing, Seth?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Loving life.
Love it.
We decided to go to the bullpen, bring in the, what did we call him, Dan, earlier? The
relief ace. It's a relief ace. It's a hard throwing relief ace. Sometimes we bring him in the sixth. Sometimes we bring him in the ninth. It's whenever we're in trouble. It's when we call up our relief ace.
Well, Dan, I got a problem here. I don't throw hard anymore. I just had Tommy John surgery. And the other thing is I don't pitch out the pen anymore. I'm a starter.
Well,
now.
You do now. You do now. For
okay.
Segment.
All right.
You do on this team. So I hope you're a good player.
I'll just go fuck myself. All right.
you're Rob Wooten. We need a slider. We're calling in a slider.
All right. It's fine with me.
So, yeah, we bring you in today because I think you're kind of fired up about some stuff that happened in the NBA. We were just talking about on the show, but we want to go to you to get your perspective.
All righty.
So, let's start off with the big one, the Paul George trade. I think you have a unique take on this.
Yes. All right. So, I am kind of back and forth on the whole super team thing. Not real sure how I feel about it because, I mean, I feel like people, like, as they say, they love the underdog or they love the story that they didn't see coming. I really don't believe that that's always true because, you know, we kind of knew what was going to happen this year with the Cavs and the Golden State Warriors playing each other. We wanted to see that. If something else would have happened, do you think a lot of people would have been up for that? Do you think a lot of people would have just jumped at that and been like, oh, the Boston Celtics are playing the Golden State Warriors this year? I don't think I would have watched a single game.
Yeah, that would have felt like there's no chance. Yeah.
So, like, the whole super team thing, that's where I go back and forth is like, okay, well, no, I guess since we're already in this area, we got to build them. But this is what I love. I don't, to be honest with you, really know what the Indiana Pacers got back. Whatever, like a stick of gum?
they got a stick of gum and a half-eaten ham sandwich on wheat. All right, it ain't even white bread. It's wheat.
What I love is the fact that Paul George basically came in and said, hey, you can either trade me to the Cavs, trade me to L.A. because that's where I want to end my career, or you can keep me for the year and lose me for nothing. And the owner, GM, president, don't care who did it, said, yeah, sure, we'll trade you, but you ain't going to the Cavs, and you ain't going to L.A. We're going to stick you with the cancer that is Russell Westbrook.
How dare
I
you?
I love it. And we're going to go stick you in the West with a superior team. You have no chance of winning a championship next year. Good luck, Paul. See you later. I loved that move. I loved it.
It was finally the vindictiveness of it.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I liked it. I don't really care what they got back. They probably didn't get enough back for a Paul George. And that's fine. I love the fact that he said, I want to go to the Cavs or I want to go to L.A. And they basically said, here's your middle finger. We'll send you where the hell we feel like it because we've paid you enough money throughout the years that you don't get to tell us what to do with our team. So, like, and I'm a player and I get it. Like, you know, we need to have some say, but they do own the team. Like, that is their baby. You're not going to tell a guy what to do with his team. It's like I wouldn't want to tell anybody what to do with their car or anything that they own. You're not going to tell a guy what to do with his team. So when he came at you and said, you're going to do this, he goes, no, I'm fucking not. I'm going to send you to OKC where nobody wants to play, obviously.
I think he's going to fit in great with Russell Westbrook because Paul George
might fit in great.
Paul George doesn't want the ball anyway.
But they're not they're not beating Paul George doesn't want the ball. Okay. Anyways, they're not beating Golden State. They're not this shit. I mean, if Kawhi Leonard's healthy, they're probably not beating Spurs. They're not beating the Rockets either.
Well, they could beat the Rockets. They could beat the Spurs.
No. No,
they could
beat
those
beating Spurs.
Teams. They could.
No. They can't.
They could.
They could. They're not beating Golden State.
They might.
No.
I mean, maybe.
There's no might.
I mean, if a guy gets hurt.
I mean, now we're speaking in hypotheticals.
Well, it's happened before. Like, Steph Curry's gotten hurt before. Kevin Durant's gotten hurt in his life. Like, you know.
I mean, I know they've all been hurt, but let's just not.
I mean, he's been emotionally scarred. Like.
Let's just stick to where we're at with this. It was, okay, a good trade for OKC. I mean, what? They.
Well, it was a hell of a trade for OKC. They got a top 10 player for, you know, peanuts.
Yeah, okay. So they got a top 10 player for peanuts, and they're going to lose him next year.
Maybe. He might stick around if they make a good run.
No, he's not sticking around. He's going to L.A.
Maybe. You never know. If you win there, he might decide, hey, you know what? I don't want to leave a
winner.
Stop! Because OKC will be able to pay
him.
He's
going to L.A.
If L.A.'s a mess this year, if L.A.'s a mess, all this talk about guys are more interested in going to L.A.
If OKC wins, the guy is from there. He said, I want to end my career there. He's going to L.A.
He's got a long career. He's got plenty of time to go to L.A. I just don't see it being a slam dunk that if Oklahoma City makes, like, the Western Conference Finals and the Lakers end up being a miserable, shitty lottery team again, that you're going to go.
They made it with.
Oh, I'm going to leave Oklahoma City and go play for this miserable, shitty team. I mean.
He left the Pacers.
Because they're shitty. The Pacers are shitty, shitty.
They're better than the Lakers.
But it's different when you're leaving, like, one pile of shit to go to another pile of shit that looks prettier. Like, look at that piece of shit. It's got diamonds in it. It's a diamond-encrusted shit. But if you're leaving someplace that's good, it becomes trickier.
How minor leaguers are. They're, like, they're so eager to get out of the spot they were in before. You're leaving one piece of shit to go to the next piece of shit. Just one of them's a diamond, so I can see where he's coming from here.
Look, I don't blame anybody for saying I've been living in Indianapolis, and now I'm going to be living in Oklahoma City. Get my ass to L.A. I gotta get the fuck out of Oklahoma. But
yeah,
you know.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, I think that he ends up in L.A., and I think that Indiana did a great thing by saying, we're not going to give you to LeBron James. We're not going to do that. And we're not going to give you to L.A. because that's where you want to end up. So we're going to send you somewhere else.
Well, I think more importantly, Seth, what they did was they said, fuck you, Danny Ainge, too. We're not going to wait for you to sign Gordon Hayward before we make this trade. So they kind of had multiple people there. And the thing that I like most is they told Danny Ainge to fuck off.
Yeah, I love that, too, because Danny Ainge is awful. Like, I don't still
– I hate the Celtics. Anything to make any Boston team look bad, I'm always happy. Fuck the city of
Boston.
Well,
I'm not going that far. I don't really mind the city of Boston, but I think Danny Ainge is a moron, so.
Well, okay.
That's just
Danny Ainge is a, and I've become this podcast's Danny Ainge defender. I love BYU. BYU, the greatest NBA player in the history of BYU, Danny Ainge.
Jimmer Fredette.
Jimmer Fredette, it wasn't a speck on Danny Ainge's ass. But the thing about Danny Ainge, and I think it's becoming increasingly clear, that he's a relic from the previous generation of general managers. Because a guy like Danny Ainge used to be able to, like, feast on some of the morons who used to run NBA teams. Because you got to remember, it wasn't that long ago.
Well, no, he's the moron that people are feasting on.
But nobody takes advantage of Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge is like this weird, like, he's like this thing in the middle of the evolution of the NBA general manager. Like, he was way smarter than all those other former player GMs, like Kevin McHale and Billy King. But he's nowhere near as smart as, like, a Sam Presti. You know what I mean? Like,
I get what you're saying, but he's still, I can't remember all of them because they've been so many, but if some of these rumors are true of the packages that people have sent over for the Paul George and the Kristaps Porzingis, and he's saying it was too much, you're an idiot.
But he's got all these assets, Seth. I got all these assets. I can't just give them away.
What assets? You got your ass in your hand is what you've got. No, you've got his ass in his hand is what
he's got. I think he's just lost track of the fact that you're not always going to find an idiot like Billy King that you can just take to the bank. Like, he took Billy King's soul from him, and he thinks that's every trade.
He's banking on these draft picks that he's holding on to of being that they're going to turn out. Like, only 10% of draft picks turn out to be fucking all-stars.
Especially that late. He's, like, holding on to all these, like, late first-round draft picks as if, here's my gold mine, a 20th overall pick. Oh, everyone, give me your daughter's virginity for this 23rd pick in the draft. Like,
it's weird. It's this weird over-evaluation of draft picks now and, like, the new cap era. And, like, you see it a lot in, like, new media kind of journalists, like, kind of overrate how important a draft pick is. Even when the guy picked those spots doesn't turn out to be anything. You know, like, they still get mad about the pick, but it's like, well, you got fucking nobody for it.
Like, you know, we talked about this on the main show. It's like, Andrew Wiggins, like, everyone was talking about, oh my God, how could Cleveland trade Andrew Wiggins to get Kevin Love? And it's like, okay, we traded a guy who might not ever be anything who's an all-star.
The guy, the year that they got him, he was a 26-13 guy.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna trade a guy that scored 16 points per game in college for a guy that averages 26-13 in the league. Yeah, I'm not gonna make that move because he could be the next Kobe Bryant. Okay, he could be. But I've got a guy over here that is scoring 26-13 that they're willing to trade. Okay, I'm gonna go with that guy.
Yeah, and it's like the idea that you can get something good without giving up anything. It's like, well. Like, if you're Boston and you want Paul George, you got to give him something for him.
Like, yeah, and then and what I heard they asked for Paul George was, like, not that much. And Paul George is better than Kristaps. Yeah. And what they asked for Kristaps, I probably would have given him. I was like, all right, you want Joakim Noah's contract.
Yeah, okay, I would have definitely take that. I'd have taken Kristaps because you've got more years on him. The one thing I will defend Danny Ainge on is that we are maybe overrating getting 1 year of Paul George. Like, if you are genuinely convinced he's going to L.A. and there's nothing you can do about it, giving up a ton of assets, maybe it ain't the right move. Maybe you should save those assets to get somebody else who you might be able to
keep. I'm more on the page of the Kristaps Porzingis one because that's the guy I'm selling the house for.
Do you really think they could have done that without Phil, like, getting overruled? Like, do you think Phil actually had the power to trade Porzingis?
Yeah, I think he did 100% because, you know, when does this not fall on the owner? Because the owner's been terrible just as bad as all the guys. He's the guy's hiring these guys, and they've all sucked, and he's just as much to blame. So,
but it felt like when Phil started talking about Porzingis and being traded, that's when Dolan sort of pulled the plug on. It's like, all right, you've gone too far.
Like, no, I heard that. I mean, Dolan said the reason he pulled the plug on him is because he wanted to buy out Carmelo Anthony. He says you can tell the media whatever you want to tell them. I understand that. You're not under oath. You can lie. But as soon as the comments started coming up about buying out Carmelo Anthony, all of a sudden Phil's job was in fucking jeopardy. And it was like, and next thing you know, he's like, yes, I seriously want to buy out Carmelo Anthony. And it's like, okay, we're going to part ways.
Well, that was really stupid. Like, figure out a trade. Like, he's an asset. Like, just make him happy
Nobody can afford his.
Hey, Cleveland can.
Not in their cap, they can't.
They'll figure it out.
But, I mean, that's who they're going to get because, I mean, they're not going to do anything else to make them any better now that George is somewhere else. And
I don't even think Carmelo will make him better.
I don't think he will either. I mean, he's going to have to come off the bench.
Well, they'll probably be getting rid of Kevin Love. I mean, he's probably just going to take Love's spot.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that. Well, unless they do, because Carmelo's still saying he'll take a buyout. Unless Dolan just says screw it and buys him out.
Like, I mean, it would be funny if you fire a guy for saying I'm going to buy him out, and then you buy him out anyway. I mean, that would be a perfect Knicks move.
If he ends up buying him out, then they do get Carmelo and Kevin Love. Because, you know, then that's why Carmelo wants the buyout so bad, is because it means more money for him in the future. He's not on some long-term contract. He doesn't get stuck in Cleveland if LeBron leaves.
That is the key. Yeah.
That's why he wants the buyout. That's why he will, and that's why I think he won't get traded unless he's bought out, because he has a full no-trade clause. He will not waive that unless he's bought out. I really don't think so. I think he says, you buy me out because I'm not going to get stuck somewhere that I don't want to be, because everybody knows where Carmelo wants to be. He wants to be in New York. He's where he wants to be, but he wants to win. Or he wants to be
in L.A. next year with LeBron.
Okay, so what do you got to do?
Carmelo and Paul George all playing for the Lakers next year.
Yeah, and then Chris Paul, too. So what do you got to do? And Dwayne Wade. What do you got to do? You got to buy.
All right, we don't really need Dwayne Wade. Like, he's coming off the bench.
No, you don't, but here's the other thing with Melo, though.
You want to get as much money now as possible, because you still got that stripper or whatever you knocked up. Like, if you're Melo, you need to make as much money as possible right now.
Stripper? I thought...
What, a stripper or something? That's what I thought.
I thought his baby mama was like a DJ. Well, he's got two.
But then he cheated on her, and I think he knocked up like a stripper or some kind.
Yeah, and then he got a divorce. Yeah.
It wasn't one of them damn smelly ass Reno strippers, was it?
No.
I can't say anything about the city of Reno. I love that place.
Hey, the cheapest steak and eggs you ever had.
I heard he had a great steak there. That's all I heard.
Before we get out of here, though, we do have some late-breaking Knick-related news, and it looks like they have offered a restricted free agent, Tim Hardaway Jr., 4 years and $71 million, a guy they traded away 2 years ago.
Hey, man, you go to Atlanta, you end up getting a lot of money.
If I'm a young free agent who needs to fix my career, I'd look at Atlanta.
Tim Hardaway Jr. is living a great life. He's gotten to play in New York. He's gotten to play in Atlanta. I mean,
now he's back in New York.
Yeah,
because I mean, if you don't take that money, are you going to win anything in Atlanta?
Atlanta won't match that. I'm pretty sure Atlanta's not going to pay that much to keep Tim Hardaway Jr. But all accounts, Tim Hardaway Jr. is a pretty nice guy. So good for him. Get your money, Tim.
Yeah, get your money. I'm all for guys getting their money. Atlanta's trying to be the Spurs of the East. It's going to take a while to get there, but they're trying to be.
All right, welcome back.
They're blowing up everything because they didn't get it right the first time.
We're back here in the bullpen. We last kind of talked about Tim Hardaway, but let's jump to Kevin Durant real quick, Seth. You've got some thoughts.
Yeah, Kevin Durant just fucked everybody in his position by taking a pay cut, and I'm not okay with that. I really don't care about the super team again, like we talked about, whether keeping it together or whatever, that he had to take it to keep it together. But, like, you're screwing people down the line because that's how agents compare. It's like, oh, Kevin Durant, the best scorer in the NBA, he took a fucking pay cut. Great. This is how we're going to have to get our guy paid. We're screwed. Like, that is hurting the NBA. Like, guys, you got to make as much money as you possibly can. So, I'm going to take a pay cut so Steph Curry can make $200 million. That doesn't work like that. Like, that pissed me off when I saw that. I'm not okay with that. I'm not cool with guys taking pay cuts to stay on these. Like, that's the problem where I have with these super teams. It's like, you want to build these super teams. That's great. But it has to work. Like, taking pay cuts and everything like that. Like, why do you have to take a pay cut from a guy that's going to make $1 billion next year off of you?
Yeah.
Why do you have to take a pay cut?
Well, on top of that, if you're Durant, you already got your championship, dude. Go get your money.
You got your ring. No one's ever going to consider you one of the top two or three. Like, you're not going to be in that consideration. I'm sorry. Like, you're not. You're not going to get in that consideration with LeBron and Jordan and some of those guys. I mean, maybe down the road, like, somebody can see. But, you don't play good enough defense.
But your ceiling would be like Kobe. You might be.
Yeah, your ceiling is this Kobe-type area. Like, you might get in that top five if people think Kobe's in the top five. That's fine. I get it. But, like, for the realistic basketball. Yeah, but if the realistic basketball thing, you're not going to get in that 1-2 tier. Like, you got your championship, move on. Like, it's time to go. Like, they got you what you wanted, and it's time to move on. And you just took a pay cut to go win another one, and guess what? That winning another one's going to do for you, jack squat. Nobody's going to consider you one or two. You're going to have two rings. I'm glad you're going to have two rings. Robert Horry's got seven, and no one cares.
Well, Well, from his perspective, and I agree with you. Because I think as a player in the NBA,
yeah, or anyone in the
league, you're one of the top earners. I think you kind of have a responsibility to the other guys in the league, the other guys in your union.
Take as much as possible.
To get the most you can so that they can get the most they can.
Exactly. They're going to ruin. Imagine Kevin Durant gets hurt.
And you owe that career-threatening
Derrick Rose type hurt. But does he ever get that kind of money again? No! So take it when you can.
Probably not. But the argument that Kevin Durant's going to make is that he's going to make more money.
People are
going to
hate him.
No, he's not.
Even though he got paid.
No, he's not. He's
salary.
Never going to be more famous.
Because
than
he's going to be so
he's
much
gonna
more
famous
than
Steph
be,
Curry.
He's going to get so many more endorsements. He's going to get.
No, he won't. He'd be more famous than Washington.
Well, he's going to be more famous because he's
than
from
he
there.
People
he's
are
more
famous than
Washington's
game. He went to Washington.
It wouldn't be a shitty market anymore.
But nobody
I mean, when
shit,
was Cleveland a great
Washington's
market?
Washington's a shitty market. Yeah.
Like, and on top of that,
that's not like you're going
to
be playing
like
in like
the bitch boy took less money to win more rings with better players instead of doing it on your own.
And you're gonna be known as Charles Barkley that succeeded.
But
yes,
do you really?
Yes, casual basketball fans will the hottest takes the hard.
But y'all really think that like casual basketball fans are going
to
be thinking that deeply about it?
Kevin Durant's a little bitch. That's just no.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case,
yeah, they
I
are
feel
great.
Like the common NBA fan just looks up and looks at Golden State and goes, man, they're fucking great.
That's not how
great.
It works, Dan, because the
man,
NBA
that's
not
a fucking, that's fucking, they're fucking great.
Play.
I don't think
so
they
you
think
look
are
at players.
Deeply yeah. as we
team
are.
Star-driven league, it's a miss or make league. If LeBron James would make all of his shots.
But I think that's changing. I think
no,
that's part
not.
Of what Golden
they're
State
not.
Has done is remade.
They're not.
No, they're not, because... No, they're not, because after
like,
Golden State won, no one cared
that
Golden State won.
All
they're
looking
to do
at like
is
the
talk
super
about how
teams
LeBron
that
James
have been put
not
together.
Better than Michael Jordan now. That's the whole conversation that came up after Golden State won. It wasn't how great Golden State was and how, like, you know, there's no Michael Jordan team that would ever beat this Golden State team. They didn't even bring that up. They just said, you know what, LeBron James is not better than Michael Jordan.
No!
No, it's because
you don't think that's because people were sick of that conversation from last year.
And
they're
going to be talking from it for 10 years or more because who's coming along next that's as good as LeBron James? Like, well, I'm sure there'll be somebody that shows up. I'm sure that's how basketball works. That's how any sport works. Is the players get better? And I'm with Steve Kerr on that one. Is you know. Just because the league changes and people are focused on safety or whatever you want to talk about, it's not like the players just get worse. It's not like the guys in the 50s would ever keep up with the guys here. Like, I got it. Like, I understand that whole thing. But that's how they talk in the NBA. It's player-driven league. It's a miss-or-make league. You make the shots, you're a great player. You miss the shots, you're a fucking awful player. You're not ever going to be Michael Jordan. You're not ever going to be, you know, those guys – that have been considered the greatest of all time. That's how it's always going to be. No one's ever going to talk about the fact that LeBron James has faced these teams that he's faced in the finals. He's faced 28 Hall of Famers combined compared to Michael Jordan's 8. But guess what they were going to still compare to? The fact that LeBron James is 3-5 and Michael Jordan is 6-0. They go player by player. They don't go and put them on teams. They go player by player. It's 100% true.
I mean, I don't know if that's true, though, because, like, we got all these people. Everybody who's under the age of 30 or everybody who's under the age of 35 is like, yeah, LeBron's
better. There's plenty of
like,
LeBron.
The only people who are still shitting on LeBron are
I know plenty of
that they're close
just
to
in,
death.
Just in our locker room.
But, like, that they can see
that
death on the horizon.
That hate. No, they don't hate his hairline. They hate the fact that
baseball players hate
like a global. He's
going to
be a billionaire. That's probably what they hate. Yeah.
But yeah, Seth, you mentioned
fucking
I want to jump
Jordan's
to this
already.
Real quick.
I'm fucking
you mentioned
yeah,
I don't know why
I
got
so
high. Some words about Cam Newton.
I'm
fucking
pretty hated
recently.
Oh,
still my boy, kind
of. Oh my god, I love Cam Newton. This is going to hurt me so bad. Cam, keep your fucking mouth shut. He said that the pressure on him.
What did he say?
Himself.
What did he say?
To a Tom Brady. He threw out the name Tom Brady. He threw out the name Michael Jordan. He threw out the name LeBron James. Oh, he threw out the name Kobe Bryant. He threw out literally greats, like guys that have won championships. And he said, the pressure on me is the same pressure on them to succeed. And I just just keep your mouth shut. That's all I ask. Like, you want to win? You want
to? No, I don't think that's that bad.
What's so bad? What's so wrong there? I'm confused.
Yeah, like, I was really bracing myself for, like, he was going to compare himself to, like, it was like that Blake Griffin shirt that compared him to, like, Gandhi and Martin Luther King and JFK.
Guys, just before we started talking, you talked about how Cam Newton cares about
Jesus when they were nailing him to the cross.
So he does not have that same pressure.
I was really terrified.
Stop.
And then he hit.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. They
don't. Carolina cares about Cam Newton.
No one cares about Cam Newton. He's got $100 million.
I mean,
he got what he wanted. Like,
nobody cares.
He does not have that pressure. So stop talking. Like, go out and actually succeed. Like, you've had one good season in the NFL. That's it. Okay, he's had one. He's had one great season. He's had one. He's had two.
And he,
last year,
and
he's had more than one good season.
No,
he's had more than one good season.
He no-showed in the Super Bowl. He was abysmal. Yes,
he's had like four.
No, they didn't. Their defense. No, they let a hobbled blind man beat them.
No show. They did good. They
almost
won. It was a close game.
But still, if you're Cam Newton, you're supposed to overcome that. That's the point.
Yes, if you're going to compare yourself to having that kind of pressure, then you've got to overcome it because those guys did.
You know who's got more pressure on you, Cam Newton? Matt Ryan. The clock's ticking on Matty, and you've got a reputation as the biggest choker in NFL history. And you probably got 3 years to fix that if you're mad. That's who the pressure's on. Yeah.
Exactly. Cam Newton has no pressure playing in Carolina. Has zero.
How many Carolina fans are like three? All three?
Yeah.
He's got
two
a lot of
pressure because
all the old Carolina fans hate him. And
no, there's three on this podcast because
there's
you
least
like
60,000
in there. So shut up. I'm not going to take another answer.
There's like 60,000.
And Zach, you like Cam? Zach, you like Cam Newton because he went to Auburn, so that makes you a default
Carolina
fan. I'm a Carolina fan because that's the only thing I've ever known. And so we'll take the bandwagoners. You're both bandwagoners. We'll take you. We got you. We're in there. We're in there like swimwear.
I have no way to respect the Carolina Panthers. Let me say that first as a Falcons fan. I'm fine with Cam Newton. Cam Newton's cool with me because he's from Atlanta. Yeah.
I mean, you talk to some of the old Panthers.
I would punch them all in the face.
You talk to a lot of these old
Panther fans,
and they kind of wish they could bring back Steve Berline. Like he's
recovering from Tommy John surgery,
just like
I am.
They're wanting to know what Jake DeLome's doing these days. Like, how's that boy doing?
What happened?
Look, they want to know what's
what
happening.
About the Clawson
boy? That Jim Collins boy.
No,
you
sound like you're from Mississippi, and let's just stop
there. I don't know what this accent is. It is not North Carolina.
That's Savannah.
Anyways. Yeah,
back to Cam Newton.
Back to Cam. Like, he doesn't have pressure on him. You know what his pressure is?
I live in North Carolina.
Shut up. Quit making a scene. Get in the end zone, win ball games, win a championship, then your pressure's there. Then you can do whatever the hell you want. No, there's more pressure after. No. No, there was more.
You don't think there's more pressure
because
I think there's
just
a lot more pressure.
And I didn't have to deal with this. Because
it's like, are you ever going to
get
it?
We won that first
championship. Get the monkey off your back.
And you can ask Cam that, Dan. The first thing anybody ever talked about was us winning another one. And I'm like sitting here going like, dude, we lost like half our offense. And all they cared about was like, hey, well, you got you, Cam, and Pat back, so you should be fine. I'm like, guys, we just lost like 20. We just lost 20 home runs. And that is at its basic point. And that's in high school.
Yeah,
that's a joke.
But
I'm not trying to compare those two. But yes, when you win a championship, especially if you win a championship at a young age, like where Cam would win a championship at a young age, pressure is on. Dan, he's still young.
Well, he's not young anymore. I would say he's like 28, 29 now.
Well, NFL quarterback, that's still. I don't think
still young.
I think he's like 20.
I mean, he's in them late 20s.
Somebody look that up. How old is he?
For a running quarterback.
I think he's our age, so I'm 29. So, yeah, I guess.
I mean, he's our age.
I mean, think about it, though. Like, I mean, I know it's quarterback, but LeBron James, he wins one. Guess what? More pressure to win two. More pressure to win three. More pressure to win four.
Cam Newton's about
so
28.
He's 28.
Well, no.
Yeah, no, Matt Ryan's got three seasons.
If you haven't won a title yet. Like, he's hit that point where it's like, oh, you ain't won a title.
That's pressure.
Well, Matt Ryan is like, you better.
I don't agree with that. You don't put, you know, no.
But like, Cam Newton.
No, because we don't put the same pressure on Cam Newton.
Okay, you better fucking win one.
No.
Or else we're going to John Elway.
He's in Carolina, bro. You don't put the same pressure on him as Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. The greatest of the greats of the greats of the greats. You don't put that same pressure on him.
But the quarterback.
Stop.
But Dan,
look at what happened. Look at what happened to John Elway. John Elway was in Denver.
He plays for no nothing franchise.
Exactly.
It's not a big deal. It's not
a big deal. If Cam Newton was drafted by the New England Patriots, after, say Tom Brady retired, and Cam Newton was drafted by the New England Patriots, and he hasn't won a championship yet? Oh, absolutely.
You know who,
I agree with you.
No. Seth, you know who has more pressure on him right now than Cam Newton? Dak Prescott. That's pressure.
Yes, 100%. Dak Prescott has more pressure.
Dan, you're thinking about it from a you're thinking about it from the wrong perspective.
I would say not
Dan,
yet.
You're thinking about it
young.
As a fan.
He's too young.
You're thinking about it as a fan.
I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm telling you. He's like nobody's putting it as a rookie. Nobody's putting pressure on a rookie.
Up to like what? 3 years ago? 3 years ago?
Yeah, he was discussed. He was discussed because of his antics. He wasn't discussed because of his play.
Everything that guy says becomes a thing. I think you guys...
No. I'm saying the pressure that he's put on
like
himself.
You guys are acting like
the
only pressure
that
he's put on you.
The pressure that he's telling everybody that he thinks he has is not anybody that's putting any pressure on him. Well, then agree to disagree, brother, because every quarterback does not. Because there's no pressure.
I don't agree
on
with that.
Cleveland
because I think
every
quarterback
survived
every
the season.
Every quarterback who has had a great season, they immediately start going, when are you going to win a Super Bowl? Because if you don't win a Super Bowl, you ain't shit. Look at how they all talk about Dan Marino today. Dan Marino
is
one of the
greatest
quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. They put everybody above him. They put Aaron Rodgers above him. They put Drew Brees above him.
But everybody else outside of Miami cares. They've won championships. Carolina's never won.
Miami's the worst sports town.
And they also had a team that's the only team in the NFL history to ever go undefeated. They also have that to that record. Carolina has never won anything. They have one Stanley Cup.
But that's way before. Nobody who talks about national.
That's
like
exactly
NFL
what they're doing.
National, they're not going, well, Carolina doesn't count because it doesn't have as many fans. That's not the way people who watch the. No, because the NFL is the only team.
No,
NFL,
that's not true. The NBA.
Bullshit.
The NBA is that way. Because the NBA has small
every
market
team
teams when it's
treated roughly
the
same.
The NFL would rather
where
their
every
big...
team.
No, bullshit, Dan.
The NFL
bullshit,
is nothing
Dan,
bullshit.
Bullshit.
The NFL, there is no difference
go back
between
to
the
Super
Patriots
Bowl.
And the and
no,
the
Dan,
and the Saints.
Dan.
There's none.
Go back to the Super Bowl.
Because
Bowl
they have
the
a salary
going
cap.
Into it.
They have
no
a
one
hard
cares
salary
about the Falcons.
Cap, and nobody
sell
is allowed to spend more.
That's the truth. There are like five teams in the NFL everyone cares about, and that's it. Pittsburgh, Dallas, New England, and maybe New York.
That's you project.
No, because you can gamble on
but
it.
But they don't. They don't. That's why the NFL draws the biggest ratings. Is because if
they
you put an NFL game on, people
do.
Watch
that's
it.
Why, that's
people
why
don't.
The games
people
was...
don't care
no.
if they're watching the Bucks versus the Cowboys. They don't. They'll watch it. Whatever.
Yes, they do.
They don't.
Dallas,
yes, they
none
do.
Of
Dan.
NFL New England draw bigger
not
ratings.
One of these
Stop.
NFL
Dallas
teams
and New England,
draw
Green
bigger
Bay,
ratings
they
than
all draw
any of the other
ratings.
Ones.
Stop.
They all draw the same. They don't. They don't. It's marginal. It is marginal. And the Packers are the smallest
So you got one
market
small market team. You got one
no,
small market team.
That is
team.
The smallest market team.
That doesn't prove your point. You got one small market
team.
One.
You just proved my point.
If we really need to look
You've
at
got,
it hard.
No.
Yeah. You got one small market team. Last year in the NBA, you had two small market teams playing for a finals for the third straight year.
There's no advantage. There is zero advantage. What are you talking about? Golden State, San Francisco is one of the biggest TV markets in America. That's one of the biggest markets in America. That is the opposite of a small market. That's one of the largest markets in the world.
No, it's not.
Like the Bay Area.
No one knew shit about Golden State until they put this team together.
No.
But everybody watches.
It is.
No, it was not poorly run. No.
Because it was a poorly run franchise for 30 years. But they were in a huge market. The Warriors were one of the worst run franchises in the NBA for like 40 years.
They were the team that they
made the playoffs.
They're the team that took down
guys,
the 60,
I'm taking crazy
the 67 deals. And 13 fucking whatever their record was. Stop.
That Baron
okay,
Davis,
they made the playoffs the next
Baron
year.
Davis,
the next
let's
year,
just go
whatever.
Back to this point.
Yeah, that
bro.
Baron Davis
I
team
mean,
was like
Charlotte's
the first Warriors
the
team to make the playoffs since the 80s.
There's no pressure.
Exactly.
It's not, but it doesn't matter.
He doesn't
in the NFL
have
because everybody's
the
got the same amount
pressure.
Of money and
he
all
doesn't.
The TV money.
No,
no, the Cowboys don't get any extra money for being the Cowboys.
That's Jan. You're
he
looking
does
at it like
because
a well
the NFL media,
outsider,
the NFL media NFL. Is this. It treats
remember,
every
before his great before his MVP
star, they cover you.
Before his MVP season, the Panthers had a losing record. Am I right? And got into the playoffs, and everybody shit on him, whatever. I don't know about what are you talking about. Everybody shit on him. He was barely
yeah,
making
everybody
any news.
Shit on him. Ever since Cam Newton has been in the league, everything that guy does has been discussed. Everything he does gets compared to Andrew Luck, who's an inferior quarterback
no,
to him.
I don't.
Everything
I don't
about
that.
Him is
I don't
constantly
that.
Dissected.
I don't believe
and arranged,
I got
looked on and this and that and everything. So I don't see where you guys are talking about
all right,
a guy being in Carolina
we,
doesn't
we gotta wrap this up
about.
Really quick, Seth.
He's
so
literally
final
Skip
thoughts.
Bayless has like a daily segment.
My thing
the
is, he doesn't have the same amount of pressure on him as the Jordan, the Brady, and all those guys that he mentioned. He doesn't have that kind of pressure. Does he have pressure on him? Sure. He's an NFL quarterback. He has pressure on him. All NFL quarterbacks. I get what you're saying about that, but as far as that kind of pressure, no, it does. No, he does not have that kind of pressure, and that's where I'm going to leave it at. Like, yeah, he's won an MVP, but he does not have that kind of pressure on him. Those guys are expected to win championships every single time they touch the field. That guy does not have that kind of pressure. End of story.
Yeah. You know what is more pressure? Ben Roethlisberger, because he's got all the echoes of Pittsburgh's past on his.
And that guy's won two championships.
So.
Yeah, I guess he did win two.
I mean, I don't think anybody.
So he had no, he had zero pressure going into the Super Bowl.
No, Dan, if Tom Brady,
like he has already cemented, he's won so many titles that it's like, all right, you got it.
That's pressure. Go.
He would have one bad season in his entire career, and everybody would, like you just said, it'd be a joke. Thank you. Like, so he had no pressure. Like that's my last.
Well, that's fair enough. But I mean, if Tom Brady had to go back in time,
we're going down a fucking rabbit hole. We really don't want to go down. But my last thing is,
put on offense. I mean, we'd have.
Can you say Tom Brady had zero pressure going into the Super Bowl this year? Yes, he had more.
No, he had more.
Not zero.
Yes, he had more because what was on
the
line? What was on the line for?
No.
No, he's not
insane.
A bum.
No, he does. Matt
Ryan
just
Matt
no.
that title.
Time out.
Or else he's a bum. If Matt Ryan doesn't win a Super Bowl, he's a piece of shit.
But
Matt
that's
Ryan,
already.
No,
Matt Ryan,
no.
If Matt
no.
Ryan never wins.
No. Bullpen's over. All right, we're back. Wow. Wild segment from Seth there, Dan. Couldn't believe he said all that stuff. That's got pretty wild. All right, but Dan, I want to jump into something that I experienced this week, and I'm going to kind of shift the host position, the stick, over to you, and I want you to kind of ask me about my experience at SunTrust Field this week, as I went on July 4th.
This is, you know, like when people talk about having that nightmare about showing up to school, and then you look down and you're naked, and you didn't study for a test?
This is it?
That's how I feel right now. Like, this is every nightmare.
Thrown
the last year come true. I'm out. Yeah, I've got to try to host a podcast. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, so the SunTrust Field, for those who may not know, that is the new home of the team of the South, the Atlanta Braves, in Cobb County, Georgia. That's North Atlanta,
yeah,
correct?
It,
it's a northern Atlanta
like
suburb.
North, it's like you take 285, I don't know, Uber there, I don't know. It's like near Vinings, too. It's like just above Marietta, but right near Vinings, which is like a old money kind of area in Atlanta. Like lots of really nice restaurants are in Vinings and stuff like that. It's a pretty cool area. But it's around there. Not in the city at all. It ain't Atlanta. That's probably the first thing I noticed when I went. Because then when you walk in, there are shops. There's a Wahlburgers. There are shops. There are stores. Everything looks brand new. Immediately, as soon as I kind of walked into the pre-entrance of the stadium, this little, you know, this area with the shops around everywhere, I knew I was not going to like this experience.
You just immediately going, yeah, this sucks.
I walked
and
in
I
immediately,
like,
and I was just like, I felt like I should be in my best behavior. And I don't think you should feel that way when you're going to a baseball game. You shouldn't feel like, oh, I better. Yeah, I kind of feel like I was at church or something, you know? Like, I felt that.
Okay, let's be. But to be fair to the pieces of shit who stole money from taxpayers, to be fair to them, isn't that kind of what it's always like at a new stadium?
I guess. But what hurt me about this was, like, usually when you go to a stadium or an arena, there's a surrounding area with, like, you just kind of get the vibe of that city. Like, if you go to PNC Park in Pittsburgh, you walk across the big, you know, one of the Three River Bridges, you kind of see everything around Pittsburgh, right? You go into this stadium and, like, everything's, like, manufactured and fake. It's, like, the most suburban stadium I've ever seen. You know, like, all these shops that look nice, they have no character. The owners don't even live in the city. You know, they're not real. There's nothing real about it. It's, like, this artificial, fake, hyper-reality bullshit, Dan. And that was my first problem walking in. It was, like, it didn't feel real.
Yeah, and I think that's something to think about, is that we both grew up with the Atlanta Braves being owned, yeah, by Ted Turner, who, for better or worse, was Atlanta, yeah, as fuck. I mean, as Atlanta as a man born in Cincinnati,
as Atlanta
to Montana,
as a billionaire white guy can be, who prefers to live in Montana.
I think he's just figured out global warming's going to kill us all, and he moved to the place.
Well, it doesn't matter. What's the apocalypse?
You looked at that. Have you looked at that global warming map though, about what areas are going to see big temperature spikes and
no,
what areas ain't?
Montana's.
Like Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, they're all going to be fine. As soon as I saw that map, and then they looked at the southeast, and it was like bright, bright red, and Montana was as green could be. And I was like, oh, Ted Turner, you miserable, you beautiful
geek. What's
he
going to do, though?
You figured it out.
No one's going to listen to some old guy.
He's gonna sell his land.
No money.
And then move to the moon.
People are just going to kill him.
Well, he's banking on it not being that bad.
It's pretty bad. They'll just kill
him.
He's banking on it going to be a global warming disaster. Yeah, apocalypse, Dan, and you're one of these billionaires. What the fuck is your money any good for? You're an old guy. I'm just going to smash your head with a rock.
You got a ranch. You control food supply. You can hire workers based on providing food.
You don't have any power because we're going back to more of a jungle thing, and then it's the strongest survive.
When all you mean... Back when rich people ran everything and controlled all things?
No, it's going to be worse. That's like still a sense of society, Dan. I'm talking like back to like when like the big fat guy controlled everything because he could just kill people. That's what we're heading toward.
I'm saying Ted Turner is planning a clone army to protect his manor. And...
Because like, I would just smash his head with a rock and be like, we're just going to take your food. What are you going to do, old man?
I mean, guns aren't going to stop working just because of the global warming.
I'll just shoot
happens.
Ted Turner with a gun.
You're not gonna get close to him.
Why,
he's on a 70,000 acre estate.
Him, though? Why?
Because he's a clone. He made him in a tank.
Maybe.
Do not doubt Ted Turner.
Let's get back to the stadium. There was one thing I did kind of like though about the SunTrust Field. They have like little bars right outside the stadium that you can enter the stadium from. So like I entered from the Terrapin Tap Room. That was kind of cool actually. Terrapin's like a local brewery here in Georgia, big sponsor.
Okay.
The new SunTrust Field.
I immediately always think of the University of Maryland when anybody says Terrapin.
I'll be honest, that was kind of cool. Like, because it wasn't like the Bud, you know, it wasn't like if you went to St. Louis and it's like, here's some shitty Budweiser shit. Like, here's at least a glimpse of, you know, culture right here. I didn't hate that, I will say. I will say once I walked in the stadium, beautiful stadium, Dan. It was pretty cool, but just too much going on while I was in there. Like, there's one section, Dan, that's just for kids to, like, have rides. It's like a mini amusement park.
That makes.
Well, that's the thing. Like you, when you know, when you've got somebody else writing the paycheck to build a place, then you put all this unnecessary horse shit in because you might as well. Like you're not having to pay for it.
So that I'd say that's like one of my bigger issues with the whole thing, Dan. Was just too much going on. You know, it's very.
I just can't see. I can't see a man such as yourself driving up to Cobb County to go see Braves games three times
a week. Well, actually, you know, it was only a 20-minute drive. I think it was like a $10 Uber. So it wasn't even that bad. I think it was cheaper than Ubering to, like, Phillips Arena for me. So it wasn't that bad in terms of, like, how I traveled. But, yeah, not really my thing. Like, I'm kind of a minimalist guy, Dan. Like, I don't need a lot to be happy. This was, like, sensory overload. Like, I think by, like, my second hour there, I was just exhausted. There's too much shit going on. I hated it.
I mean... Yeah, I'm sorry that your whole situation has been ruined by rich people. They took something else away from you.
There's nothing as they are wont to do. There's nothing worse for a white guy from an upper class family to watch rich people do more. It's awful to watch them do stuff. But I will say, Dan, I did have all you can eat, all you can drink seats right behind home plate, and still didn't really have that much fun. So what's that kind of tell you?
Tells me that the eating and the food, the eating and the drinking wasn't all that good.
Actually, the food was awesome. It was pretty. It was like a, wasn't like maybe like it's like reception hall quality food, like a really nice reception you might go to. I mean, they also had like hot dogs and wings, but they had like a nice take on the chicken salad sandwich, out of pimento cheese and ham sandwich. Some cool stuff there. I will admit the food was pretty good. If I could just hung out there the whole time, which I probably could have, maybe would have had more fun. But
Is part of the problem here is that you had to watch a baseball game and you just don't like that?
I would think, but I used to have lots of fun at Turner Field, but I'd be like in the upper deck and I was drunk from tailgating a parking lot all day and like, I don't know, it's just, this is all too fancy. That's the other issue. Sports are getting too fancy, Dan. Like, sports used to be about like blue-collar people, like going to some shitty-ass piece of concrete and like watching their team play. And now it's like going to a fucking mall in the suburbs that's connected to, like, a golf course.
Well, yeah, because the malls are all closing. So the baseball stadiums have to become the new mall.
And it sucks. Because I just don't think sports should be that way, you know? And, like, I'm seeing it everywhere in Atlanta, you know? Like, once the new Mercedes-Benz stadium's ready, it's going to be similar to that. I'm just not going to like it.
Oh, you mean the new football stadium that they're tearing down a historically black church?
Yes, which I may have put a curse on the team.
How would you know? How would you even know if the Falcons are cursed? How could you possibly judge that?
I think there was like a game back in February or like January that may have.
And they didn't build the stadium yet.
No, they already started the stadium.
The whole history of the Falcons is misery and unhappiness. How could they get worse?
The whole history of the city, to be fair, has been misery and unhappiness when it comes to sports. But, Dan, I'm just afraid I'm getting to a point where going to sports just ain't as fun as it used to be. That's kind of my takeaway from, I'm kind of depressed after going to that stadium. It's just like, this isn't the sports I loved growing up. It's just...
Well, this is the one thing about college sports that'll never let you down. The stadiums will always be terrible.
They should be! You shouldn't be in a fucking luxury stadium. It should kind of suck, you know?
I will say this. I brought up Maryland earlier because you mentioned Terrapin beer. The biggest mistake that university ever made was moving out of their on-campus basketball arena into the NBA arena, where the Wizards play.
Oh, they play in Washington.
They moved at
wherever that is.
Virginia or something. That arena is actually like in I think Landover, Maryland. So they moved there. And that was the biggest mistake their team ever made because their on-campus arena was the most raucous, the loudest. It was the most obnoxious place to play because their students would just show up and just scream the most insane things. Like they would just scream shit at the Duke team, especially just like rich boy, you know, like just the craziest chants in the world. And they moved way off campus to play basketball games, and their crowd sucked.
Well,
never
it's
been
like this, Dan. Like, one of the big renovations at Auburn the past couple of years has just been adding a big-ass video board. That's what they should add. Just something so the people in the cheap seats can see better. That's a A video board is a renovation for the working man. And I appreciate that more college stadiums look out maybe for the working people. It's just a shame the guys putting their bodies on the line aren't getting paid. That'd probably be
the only college football program I can think of that's built a new stadium is Baylor, a.k.a. the university you should want to be the least like.
We should just stop building stadiums. There's no reason to get rid of it. I get why they got rid of the Dome, because the Super Bowl won't fucking come unless you can have a taxpayer-funded flyover that probably costs this country like $4 billion to do. I don't know. It's just ridiculous. There's no reason to build. Stop building stadiums, everybody. This is stupid. You're ruining sports.
They're a horrible waste of money. They only kind of made sense back when they made the shared baseball football facilities that every stupid-ass reporter would bitch about because an owner was trying to gin up an excuse to get his own stadium, and these dumbass reporters went along with it because they don't have the sense God gave a mule. They spent years propagandizing against multi-use stadiums, even though they were a much better deal for cities, because football stadiums are a giant waste of money because you can't put anything else in there. And, when baseball and football shared facilities, you could at least, get something more out of the facility.
Well, Dan, even when Atlanta had separate facilities for everybody, it wasn't that bad. Like, at least we had something that was built for the Olympics and they kept for the baseball team. Like, you can have separate things when it makes sense, but I don't know. I feel like...
Well, yeah, like, Turner Field was ridiculously cheap because it was originally built for the Olympics and just retrofitted for baseball. So it ended up being like a pretty, like, as far as these things go, it was not as big an issue for the city.
Well, I
think
the Falcons.
Surprise, because Ted Turner was involved.
Well, I think the Dome was built too, but I think that was built so they get the Super Bowl. Well, the Super Bowl came like, what, once?
Yeah, they built that thing to get. Well, it was they also moved the SEC.
Yeah, well, I mean,
which they had that,
Like I said, a big, like, Mercedes-Benz will probably end up making more sense for a city like Atlanta than it may say for a city like Las Vegas. But it's still stupid and a waste of money, especially when you get fucking homeless people in the street next to the stadium. What's the point, But I don't know. This whole experience just kind of soured me on sports.
Also, the other point, like, the other excuse that used to be for building these stadiums was as a way to draw all the affluent upper middle class white people who moved to the suburbs. It was like, well, this will draw them back into the city once or twice a week, depending on what sport it was. Well, all those people are moving back into the city anyway. There's no reason to build this shit. There's none.
No, and like,
but other than, they bribe the shit out of the politicians.
I'm really afraid I'm going to have a similar experience, like maybe the new Hawks or the Phillips Arena when it's redone, but I just don't think it'll be the same because it's still at least in the fucking city and not like some manufactured,
non-existent
town. Yeah, it's like a mirage.
That's like a million miles away from anything.
Here's a rundown suburb, and we're going to put all this new shit here that doesn't make any sense. So,
yeah, and that I can guarantee you in 10 years that neighborhood's going to be a shithole. Yeah.
Oh, damn, we speak of shitholes, bad mistakes. Let's jump to our buddies over at Fox Sports 1. we didn't really get to talk about them last week. There were some layoffs, but the news this week was the man behind the big changes at Fox Sports is out. Tell us a little bit why that happened.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay, here's what you need to know about the man. His name's Jamie Horowitz. He made his bones in television by greenlighting First Take over ESPN, giving Skip Bayless his own show. I think he's also the guy who got Pardon the Interruption on TV originally. He basically invented the ESPN two dudes shouting at each other format. That's his big
contribution. Which really is just a ripoff from what CNN used to do, right? Or does now.
Yeah. Total ripoff of CNN. Because CNN came up with, like, Crossfire. And Crossfire back in the day was just, like, let's take a Republican and let's, like, take a Democrat. And it doesn't matter if either one of them are smart. We'll just have them, like, argue about it.
Like, I think...
And this was considered brilliant.
All that stuff at ESPN kind of happened around the time I think Fox News became big for kind of doing a similar thing, just a little more skewed.
Well, no, Fox News was just like, hey, let's just let the right-wingers do all the talking.
Well, but the Hannity and
CNN,
Combs, CNN, well, maybe that wasn't CNN, yeah. I can't remember.
Hannity and Combs was like the Fox News ripoff of Crossfire. That but was just them ripping
this
off.
This was more like a trend, kind of, though, in cable news-centric stations, was to just have more arguing. So it's not like you got an original fault, necessarily, just copied someone who's more successful than him. Is that fair to say?
Yes. And it worked. It made a lot of money for ESPN, and then he got hired to take over the Today Show. Probably the number one job in TV news is to run the Today Show. And guess how long he lasted?
A month?
10 weeks. He made it 10 weeks before they canned him because he turned the entire Today Show into a chaotic, just everybody fighting with each other over everything. He came in and immediately tried to turn everybody against each other so that he could then sow dissension in everybody and then run everything.
The Today Show to me seems like the easiest gig in the world. Just kind of copy what the news did last night.
Yeah, don't fuck up. Like, don't. Don't do anything stupid. Like, it's the number one name in the whole thing. Be light, have likable anchors. Like, that's it. Just hire likable people.
And you,
that's
and all you just let, like PR people kind of handle it and get your guests. Be like, oh, well, Beyonce's got a new album. We'll have her on this week and she'll do a live performance or something.
Like, literally all you need is to just have likable anchors. If you have that, you
win. Like I'm saying, the celebrities, they'll come to you, basically. You have to do no fucking work there. Besides, like, hire attractive people who know how to talk.
And so he got fired from there. He sort of, slummed around. Nobody wanted him. That's a horrible embarrassment. And then FS1 hired him because their original idea of just, hey, we're fun. Don't you think ESPN's not fun anymore? Hey, look at these two Canadian dudes doing our SportsCenter. Don't you like that? And everybody went, no, we don't watch SportsCenter anymore. Why would we watch a fake?
There's a thing called YouTube.
And I have a life and I have a phone. I don't need you. And so that failed. And so here's this guy who took ESPN to a new level of profitability. It's a very Vince Russo-y situation, like Vince Russo to TNA. Like if Embrace Debate was Vince Russo's attitude, it was Jamie Horowitz's attitude era. And the Today Show was him in WCW. FS1 is him in TNA. And it's just, let's recreate everything I did at ESPN. He hired all the shouting head ESPN people that have never drawn a dime. So here comes Jason Whitlock, who had just botched they put him in charge of starting up Black Grant Land. And it became one of the most hilarious and comical failures in the history of online media. And he got fired. In comes Colin Cowherd, a guy who has flopped every time they've tried to put him on TV. He's a radio show host, but he cannot.
Look at his face. That's how.
He looks like a guy who would be your your wife's boss and hit on her, and then she's just like, oh my
and it's
God,
not like
I have to put up with this guy.
This guy is just not a guy who's pleasing. Look, he looks like a rat. You know.
He looks like a rat. He's an unattractive person. He's flopped at every TV role he's ever been given. And then let's bring in Skip Bayless, And all of those shows have failed. Skip Bayless's show routinely gets dunked on by, like, reruns of I Love Lucy on networks you've never heard of. Colin Cowherd's show, Colin Cowherd's show does ratings so low they're within the margin of error, so he might have zero ratings. He might have zero people, and they're just like a statistical error is giving him, a 0.1%, share. The Jason Whitlock show is hellish, which also has Colin Cowherd on it because they simulcast Colin Cowherd's radio show, which radio simulcasts have never drawn a dime on television. Nobody
I think the only one that's maybe worked ever is probably like Mike and Mike, and that's because that's like on in the morning. There's just nothing else for people to watch it.
The IMS show used to do good in the early days of cable news when he was on MSNBC, but it's also just like it's cheap filler because you're already producing it for radio, so, it's better than nothing, but it doesn't do very well. Nobody wants to watch TV on the radio. Nobody wants to watch radio on the TV. And, the Jason Whitlock, Colin Cowherd, what was it Deadspin used to
all
call
takes
them?
Matter.
All Takes Matter? Yeah, All Takes Matter. Yeah, that show, like, nobody watches it. Because nobody likes either one of those guys. Especially Whitlock. Like, like the Uncle Tom Hour. Like, nobody wants to watch that. So, everything he's hired, it's all failed. His latest idea, you know, this was a thing he did last year, which was let's call football games on remote from L.A., not send any of our announcers to the stadium. So they're just sitting there in front of a monitor calling the game from a studio. No idea what's going on. Didn't work. Nobody enjoyed it. And then the coup de grace was let's get rid of our website and replace it with just videos of Colin Cowherd showing you his dick. And he laid off basically their entire news staff. They no longer have basically – there's no longer anybody who works for Fox Sports who has any idea how to break
a news story. Think
about this, Dan. It's literally just
– think about this. He had one show that like people who – maybe it wasn't highly watched, but a lot of people were like, oh, this is pretty good. That's the Katie Nolan show, correct? Like a lot of people were like, oh, this is fresh.
Yes.
It's fun take. We see Samantha Bee. This is some, you know, it's a chick. It's fun, you know? They put her on the bench.
Yeah, because he didn't come up with it. Like, he's one of those guys where if he didn't come up with that show, you're in
trouble.
Well,
it's not only that, but he also didn't, like, attempt to create anything organically. Just brought all these, you know, the B-teamers from ESPN over who were only watched because they were on ESPN in the first place. Like, let's be honest, you wouldn't have Skip Bayless is if he was never on whatever, around the horn. Like, you just wouldn't have.
Skip Bayless is 100% a creation of ESPN.
Look at it,
and the fact that there's millions of people who will just leave ESPN on during the day. And whatever comes on, they'll look
at. Well, Dan, on top of this, too, it's like, look at Jay Mariotti. Look what happened when he left you. No one gave a shit about him.
You could have replaced Jay Mariotti with me, and it would have made no difference.
No one would have cared. They would have been like...
Or not around the horn. They replaced the host! They replaced Kellerman, and their ratings went up. Like, nothing matters. The concept of people arguing on ESPN is what sold, because so many people are watching ESPN all
day. And people just want to hear about sport. They don't care who's telling them about sport. It's like, I think the lesson Bill Simmons is kind of learning right now. No one really cares who's telling them about sports anymore. It's just they just want to get sports. And they want to go to, like, three websites and that's it. You know, it's true. And like with TV, people want to go one place to watch people talk about sports, and then that's it. Because even shows on ESPN2 didn't do that well. You know, whether it's Olbermann or Rome or any of that shit, no one ever tuned in.
Yeah, and it's just this idea that this guy who was on a hit ESPN show, like he's the reason it was a hit. It's just like, how many times does that have to be proven false? Like, Jim Rome had a hit show on ESPN in the early days of ESPN, back in the early 90s. He had, like, a sit-down talk show. That was successful. He got poached by Fox Sports when they first started up, and nobody watched
it. Same thing with Olbermann.
Keith Olbermann. Yeah, Keith Olbermann got poached to do his own show on Fox Sports. The original FSN. The original Fox Sports Network. Nobody watched it. Like, all of these guys are replaceable. ESPN is just the brand name that everybody watches because it's the sports channel they know.
And when you can't just copy what the machine does, you have to go and do something fresh and build an audience organically. And that's something Horowitz never
did. It's honestly like if you started up a wrestling company and then hired all the writers from WWE and then hired whatever mid-card pro wrestler you could get from WWE and just tried to do WWE Junior. Like, nobody would watch it because they got WWE. Like, why is anybody going to watch bullshit ESPN, like an ESPN?
And not even like one that's trying to do something fresh or different, just literally the same shit. It's like, when did Bellator seem to have the most success? When they just did different shit from UFC, you know? When they had a lady fighting or something, you know? Like, that's how you get attention from the big brand. You have to differentiate yourself. And that's something they had no interest in doing at Fox Sports. We saw it, you know, when you shut down a Katie Nolan, when your programming is literally just ESPN's, but worse.
Yeah, nobody wants to watch ESPN Junior.
They don't watch ESPN 2.
I mean, the only thing anybody watches on Fox Sports is live events. And they've paid too much to get those live events, so they can't
make it. It's not even really
money.
The live events people necessarily want to watch. You know, it's like Pac-12 football. Like,
well, they did just get the Big Ten. So that's a big
Fox
one.
Proper,
but it's
though,
just
anyway, for the most part.
But they've had to overpay to get it. So they're not
how much
make
that's
going to
be on
because
the
what
big
they,
games that people are going to watch will be on the
I
network.
I mean, there'll be a lot of
correct.
I mean, like a Michigan, Ohio State will be, but like, you know, like there'll be a lot of top end Big Ten games that'll be on Fox Sports 1. Don't worry about that. But when you look at what they had to pay to get it, it's like, well, shit, you can't make any money. Like, you had to literally give away, like, you had to literally pay them, like, two times what it's worth to get them to go on your shit-ass network. And that's what they can't figure out. Like, yeah, you can get top rights fees if you overpay to get them. But, like, that, where does that leave you? Like, after 5 years, you have to fire everybody because your network's not profitable. And it doesn't help when you let some creep who sexually harasses every woman he comes in contact with fire everyone from a profitable website that was making money for Fox Sports, and he fires them because, I think we should just put videos up because I'm a dumbass. And then you let him do it. And it's like everybody who has done this, like, pivot to video. Scout.com did it. And you know what Scout.com is right now?
I don't even remember Scout.com. Is that a site for scouts?
Scout was a recruiting site. Yeah. Well, no, they're not just college football. They're all college. They're all,
it's like rivals, recruiting, right?
Rankings. Well, Scout, I think, was first.
But yeah, no one.
Scout used to be pretty successful. You know what they did like 3 years ago? They went all video. No more articles. Everything's a video. You know what they are now? They're bankrupt because it's bullshit. Okay,
here's the other issue video, especially in today's world. Half the time the fucking videos don't work because not everybody has the same fucking phone or the correct OS update or the video player that works properly. Videos are dumb because we're still so fragmented in how we view things. Videos make sense if everyone had an iPhone, but most people have an Android. But you design things for people with iPhones. Video will never work unless it's on something like YouTube, which just works everywhere because it's formatted properly. But when your Fox player is some weird, you know, some fucking shit put together by the, I don't even know, Dan. Of course it's never going to work because the videos never fucking play. That's half the issue.
Well, the shit that draws big views on, nothing does good video plays unless it's on YouTube. So what they do is they do this scammy autoplay shit where, like, the video will play and they'll count that as a hit, but nobody actually watched it. And you can only do that for so long before the advertisers who thought they were paying for YouTube-style page views realize that nobody's actually watching the video, so therefore nobody saw their ad copy, therefore this isn't worth anything. And that's what happened with Scout.
You know what also happened, Dan?
They sold all this ad revenue for these videos that were going to do all these big page views, and then they got all those big ad buys. And then when none of those ad buys turned into revenue for the companies that were selling their ads, they demanded all these refunds, and then they cut off any future ad sales, and the whole thing collapsed, and now
people stop going to your site, because guess what? They don't like it when videos start playing automatically. It's annoying when you're trying to read a fucking article and look at a goddamn score, and a video starts playing, and you're the, you know, maybe you're in a restaurant or something, you know? It's awkward. So people...
And nobody wants to sit there and listen to some guy in a fucking phone booth somewhere with wind blowing around him, trying to record a video version of a column that I could have sat there and leisurely read while I was at work, reading like a paragraph at a time in between doing something. And I could have actually read the article. You know, nobody wants to sit there with a 3-minute video that's basically some guy with a terrible microphone reading his column.
No, Dan, I had something similar happen the other day. Like, there was an option to watch an interview or just read it. And I just ended up reading it because I was like, the video player wouldn't work. It was, you know, fucking kerfurkle. It was easier just to read the interview. And, like, it feels like people are forgetting that people just prefer to read stuff sometimes. It's just easy. It's easier to comprehend information sometimes when you read it.
When you look at articles about sports and who reads them, the vast majority of them are people who are at work, like stealing a little time for themselves to like
stealing,
not think about work,
using the proper time. I wouldn't call it stealing. Yeah.
Borrowing some time
they're
during their busy work day to do something else for a little bit, and they're not going to sit there and listen to a video. They're at work. Like it doesn't
even work half the time. That's the other fucking like. It's back to this.
Yeah, these broke ass sites.
Like, you know why YouTube works? If you're Jamie Horowitz, you know why it works? I mean, I don't know why it works. It works because it's fucking uniform. That's why people go to it, because it will always work. YouTube videos will always work on any stupid phone. But I go to Fox Sports 1, it probably won't work if I use three different phones. Fuck!
It's just he's a blithering idiot. He's been fired for sexual harassment. This will probably be the end of him. We'll never have to think about any of his stupid ideas ever again. And I just wish that this investigation had concluded like a week earlier before he fired a bunch of people, because you know, those people probably aren't getting their jobs back, which is.
But Dan, before we go, there is one last point I'd like to make. It looks like to me what big network's going to win in all of this sports wars we've kind of seen in the media? CBS. If I'm CBS, I stuck true to my conservative formula. I didn't do too much, but I didn't do too little, and I'm perfect. They kind of applied what they do with sitcoms, and it worked. Just take stuff that people want to watch, put it out there, and don't do too much else.
I kind of like what NBC's been doing,
my
too.
The thing with NBC is, like, they always lose money on the Olympics, so it's not the easy to pick.
That is stupid,
and
yeah.
And a game contract.
Yeah, that's fair. But the thing about NBC is they just pay for shit that they think will... But and Notre Dame draws money.
Yeah, that's
money.
True. And like,
even though Notre Dame's bad, Notre Dame draws money.
Yeah, you watch the ads for a Notre Dame game, and it's, like, all stocks and bullshit. You watch, like, say, an NC State game, and it's all for, like, Hee-Haw DVDs or something, you know?
How dare you? How dare you talk about graduates of the from the Audubon of innovation, where the mortarboards are size XXL?
But no, but Dan, you're right. If you're CBS or even to a lesser extent NBC, who I think NBC's kind of stretched themselves too thin. But if you're CBS, you gotta be fucking happy. You have a network that probably doesn't lose you any money. You know,
it doesn't make you anything.
There,
you know,
it's whatever. You kind of use it as a breeding ground to maybe test some weird shit. Like rodeo, and you're like, oh, people like rodeo, so you throw it on sometimes on Sunday afternoon. You know, I just like what CBS does. It's like they're not trying too hard, and it's kind of the maybe what you should do sometimes if you're a big network. You know, people like SEC football, they'll always watch it. Stick with that. People like NFL football, they'll always watch it. Stick with that. Don't do anything else.
If you can get this shit cheaper, make a run at it, but don't overpay.
Like, if you can get it.
Don't do like ESPN did and pay three times what anybody else is willing to pay
Mountain
for the NBA.
West games for cheap on your regional sports or on your shitty cables.
Oh, and CBS also has the March Madness.
Oh, yeah, March Madness.
They split it with Turner.
Always 100% be popular. I don't care how big college basketball is. People watch March Madness, you know? Non-fans watch March Madness. It's something that will always be big in America, I think.
Yeah, that's the thing. CBS pays for the shit that everybody's going to watch instead of overpaying, hoping that people will start watching something.
Like, it's even like how they do golf. People will always watch the Masters or the U.S. Open or the big majors. That's the only ones you need to care about. Don't worry about the fickle fuck tournament in May. No one pays attention to that.
Now, does CBS still own Viacom?
No, I think Viacom always sold it. But don't quote me on that. Buddy.
I kind of remember there being some weird like CBS spinoffs from their parent company.
Yeah, but at some point CBS is like its weird own parent company now, or maybe does Paramount own it or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, I can never keep track of who's
you know
of
who
owns
it?
Who anymore.
Some rich douchebag who should be killed. How about that?
Oh no, it's that guy
Les
who's
Moon
dying.
Does?
Sumner Redstone.
Yep, the CBS Corporation.
And he's gone senile, and his daughter is like running it with like her hand up his ass, like working him like
Leslie
a puppet.
Moonves and Sumner Redstone are the president and CEO.
Yeah, Redstone is the guy who runs the company, and Moonves is the head of programming.
There you go. So yeah, Dan, before we get out of here, though, FU of the week to anybody that kind of got you get going.
FU of the week to Teddy Atlas because you know, that boxing match in Australia where Manny Pacquiao lost to a guy who he shouldn't have even been in the ring with, and yet he fought this incredibly close fight, and we're all supposed to be offended that Manny Pacquiao lost a fight that he should have won easily by playing around with a guy and letting it be close. Teddy Atlas went into the ring as this guy is celebrating the biggest win of his life. He's now a world champion, you know, in only his 19th fight, and Teddy Atlas goes, you didn't win that fight, which is one of the most classless and ridiculous things I've ever seen somebody who was representing a journalistic entity ever do. Like ostensibly he was a commentator for the fight, so he's part of the ESPN broadcast. Do that, just like tell that guy that he didn't really win the fight when he's celebrating his moment and make that old thing about him and Teddy Atlas the truth teller. I'd have fired him before he got out of the ring.
Pulled who is the guy
Freddie Gray. Who's the guy who did that, like, to Pete Rose when they invited him back to baseball for the first time and tried to get him to
Jim Gray.
Kind of pulled a Jim Gray there, like, trying to make – when journalists kind of make the story about themselves, they're trying to manufacture a story instead of just fucking covering it. Is that fair to say? Kind of pulled
a Jim Gray. Yeah, I was ridiculous. I thought it was just a complete outrage. Even if you thought Manny Pacquiao won the fight, it was – A, that fight was way closer than dumbasses like Teddy Atlas thought it was. Because the early rounds, basically, Pacquiao did nothing, and the other guy was way more active. Horn was way more active, and so he just kind of won these rounds just by being active, even though he didn't land much. Because Pacquiao just did nothing. Like, he just sat there while a guy, like, danced around him and, you know, threw a bunch of punches that didn't really land. But still, it's activity. And, you know, all these dumbasses just ignored that and just pretended it didn't happen. So, I don't know, man. It's a dumbass being a super dumbass and compounding it with even more dumbassery. And I would have fired him. I don't say that lightly, but you would never work for me as a commentator if you do something like that and suddenly try to make the whole thing about you. You know, this big sporting event.
It's not your job, essentially. It's just not. No. You may want to and think you're doing something right, but you're not fucking supposed to do it. Because you're a commentator. You're not even a real journalist. You're just a...
You're nothing. Like, you're just some guy that we hired because we're doing pay-per-views now. And he was terrible in the broadcast. He spent the whole broadcast just shouting over Tim Bradley, who's, you know, a fighter who's, you know, fought in major fights. He's been a world champion in recent years. He's got a lot more experience. He's fought Manny Pacquiao. You know, that's the guy I'd want to listen to during a fight, not some guy who hasn't done anything in boxing in 25 years. Like, when's the last time Teddy Atlas actually did anything besides sit on ESPN?
I don't even know who Teddy Atlas is, to be honest.
He used to work for Customato when Customato was training Mike Tyson. So he was in the room. He was in the room when Mike Tyson was being
trained.
Kind of
a Trevor from Ireland kind of thing. Dan, here's my FU of the week. What's his name? Arthur Chu? Fuck you. I'm glad your wife left you. What's that? Is that the Jeopardy guy? Jesus. Is that his name? Yeah, fuck him. Yeah.
Hardcore. I don't know anything about him. I know some people on Twitter...
He's a Twitter guy. Just fuck him. I don't like him. I think his wife left him. I think I saw that this week. Good.
Hey, probably had a comment.
We'll talk about it off air. Yeah. If you watch the doc, actually, we'll talk about it now. If you watch, like, the little documentary I made about him, you see, like, his wife does everything for him, and then he still treats her like shit. So, fuck him.
Well, that will lead to an unhappy marriage.
Be nice. Be nice to your partners. Don't be selfish. And don't block me on Twitter.
Oh, man. And on that note, remember, you can find him on Twitter at Zachary T. Gilbert. Don't block him on Twitter or else he will fucking come for you.
You can
find me at Dan MP Ford. He'll cuck you. Zach will totally cuck the shit out of you.
Take your husband if you're a girl. I know either way.
He'll cuck anything. As long as he gets that sweet cucking action. On that note, you can find me at DanMP4. Check us out on the Champions in Art podcast. We'll be talking about the 80s and booking philosophies of the 80s this week, which was a fun show to record. I hope you all enjoy it. And on that note, I have to turn it over to the maestro, the man of the hour, the man with the power, the man with the music. He's the music man himself. He's at OANSUN, Owansun. And play that music.
Is that his name? I can't remember. Is Arthur Chu? Well, I think he like did the mask, but I'm probably on a block list because I probably follow like Bernie Sanders or something. But yeah, two of the worst. I think like literally in the documentary, they're like his wife suffers from like MS or like chronic pain or something, and he's just like ordering her around, and like she wants to be an artist, but he's not very supportive of her or something. It's just like real sad. But he's also, like, the type of guy who goes on Twitter and he's like, you should treat women better. No, I think he's a liberal. Maybe he's not. I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't know. They're all the same. They're fucking liberal. Oh, let me hit stop.